hey, we are now being recorded. And Donna, did you want to turn it over to me, or were you done?
I had already turned it over to you.
Good. I'm sorry. I was on the other line with Eleanor. I'm so sorry I missed your introduction. What a terrible thing.
You're going to talk on finding God in our bodies.
Am I really? Ooh, what a topic. Oh, man, I wish I had thought of that. All right. Thank you, Donna, so much. And I want to say an absolutely magnificent hello and welcome, big heart welcome to each and every one of you, and just invite you to feel totally embraced by Donna, by me, and by everybody else who's a part of this call, because, one, we love you, and, two, it's just our honor to sit with you and hold you and be held by you as we have this very, very precious sacred hour together. And second, I really want to thank all of you for doing it this Tuesday instead of next Tuesday. Next Tuesday is the last Tuesday of the month, and because next Monday, Donna is having hip replacement surgery, and we just really wanted to have the call this week so that I could be with Donna full-time next week. So I really want to invite, if you feel like it, just invite all of us to be with Donna, especially next Monday as she undergoes that surgery. And with all of us there, it will be absolutely powerfully the full blessing it's meant to be. So since our last time together, I've had a couple of magnificent experiences. One is, this last weekend, I had the privilege of going to Marin County in California and hanging out with a lot of extremely magnificent people. And, wow, it was just an amazing, amazing weekend. We just jumped right in. We went way deep and way high, and it was just totally filled with blessings. Then the weekend before that, in St. George, Utah, we had our Immersion in Mysticism group. And it was equally, absolutely amazing. It was just, so filled with light and love and just huge blessings. And the only reason I'm mentioning these two is that it's my intention that level of blessing, that enormity of blessing, that grace of blessing will just continue into this hour just like it was these last couple of weekends. So, again, I thank you for being here. And when I sat down earlier this afternoon, just opening to the question, okay, what is the perfect topic for those of us who are going to be here this evening? These words, let me count them, five words just came into my mind. They jumped right in, and they just wouldn't leave. It's called this, as Donna already said, finding God in our bodies. Finding God in our bodies. And I think that is just the most wonderful topic. So as I've sat with it, sat with you, just let our collective soul just sort of fill me with thoughts, ideas, jotted some things down, here's what I want to say. I want to start with saying I've really basically always been quite puzzled, and probably all of us identify with me in this, at the number of religions, the number of spiritual traditions that really don't tend to see much of the divine in our human form. And whether it's because of what they perceive as maybe some suspect nature of our sexuality, or simply because maybe they've really bought into this historical split between divine and human that seems to be a part of our human consciousness. And in other words, maybe they see the human experience as something less than the divine. They don't seem to have a lot of use for or don't seem to see a lot of value in our human bodies. And so I've noticed how many of the more Eastern spiritual traditions tend to invite us away from the physical world. And that's not just Eastern. I know that's very Western too. But a lot of the Eastern ones have taught us for centuries how to transcend the human, how to transcend the physical, and in a sense meditate our way into the absolute, into the divine, where once we become full-time residents in that absolute, oftentimes the implication at least is, even if it's not said, gee, we can pretty much forget about this human realm now and just enjoy the divine. In other words, the human, the physical, become a little less important, and they can, in some sense, be nicely dispensed with. And I've had friends who certainly have lived in those realms and really don't seem to have a lot of use for this human physical world. Well, the first thing I really want to say about that is that really, and I really do mean this, because most things, you know, I say I don't really mean, but this one I do. I really do respect that approach. In fact, I respect it a lot. I think it's served many, many people for thousands of years in their extremely genuine request for and adventure into the divine. And in a sense, I think it's been perhaps the most dominant, the most inspired approach to what I would like to call a pure spiritual life, maybe the most inspired that this planet has enjoyed until maybe, let's just say, recently. So whether it's that pure, inspired Eastern approach or our more Western, sometimes fundamentalist perceptions of the body is something that's kind of dangerous to a true believer. And, you know, I grew up around a lot of fundamentalist religions where they prohibit real human things like dancing and singing and all those kinds of things, like having fun. And most of us have inherited that sort of collective sense of shame, which is the word I want to use, around anything physical or human or certainly primal. And it was our good buddy Carl Jung who taught that when we become human, that is when we're born, we're all just automatically, almost like a default program we fall into, we automatically take on the collective human myths that have just kind of come together over the centuries, especially the myth of good versus evil. And, back to my word, the underlying shame that, according to him at least, is one of the core foundations, one of the influencing underpinnings on which all of us build our lives. Well, I don't know whether that's true or not, but whether it is or not, I have known lots and lots of people. In fact, maybe I could say almost everybody I've known in my life carries at least some sense of shame in his or her depth, some feeling of not enoughness or some feeling of something's wrong with me-ness. Yeah, that's a real word. And some sense of some underlying problem that just won't go away no matter what you do. Anyway, I think you get the idea. So my personal sense is this. You know, maybe we're missing something about this body thing, this human deal, this earthy or earthly scene. And after all, if we look at it this way, if everything is in fact created in the image and likeness of the divine, and if God literally is in every aspect of creation, and that is what most religions, most philosophies would say, it just doesn't make sense, even logical sense, for us to deny that there's some real value, some beauty, some divinity of some sort in anything and everything physical. So I'd like to invite us to a tour. It's a tour of our physical world, and especially that physical world that we call our bodies. And maybe just see if we can find the divine aspect of these bodies, the divine aspect of their reality. So, you ready? Let's start with, and this is a little bit theoretical, but let's start with the very aspect of our bodies that I feel like calling their existence, their very existence. Like, in other words, what is this puzzling, mysterious thing called a body anyway? Well, I just kind of splashed around this afternoon a few thoughts about it. And first and foremost, I think that this body, yours, mine, everybody's body, is one form of many bodies. Remember those systems that talk about our etheric body, our emotional body, our mental body, our causal body, and so on? And they're very alive today. And I think what they're referring to is that we human beings have many kinds of bodies, the physical one being one of many, and indeed the most tangible of them all, which is, I think, what makes the physical body the one we notice most of all, maybe most often, and the one that seems to call us to the most response. So in this conversation with us this evening, I'm inviting us to focus mostly on the physical body. Why? Mostly because it's our physical body that gets so much of our attention. We dress it with all kinds of clothes. We adorn it with jewelry of all sorts. We feed it varieties of food on a regular basis. We care for it when it's sick. We house it with a roof over its head, walls to protect its skin. We protect it with insurances of all kinds, health insurance, car insurance, this insurance, that insurance. In short, we spend hours each day literally caring for, responding to the needs of, even adorning this amazing facet of us called our bodies. And as I was sitting this afternoon just thinking about that, it just grabbed me what a central phenomenon our physical self is. So, back to the question of the very existence of our bodies, our bodies exist. They exist in a physical, palpable, touchable, feelable, tangible way. And for some reason, most of us have a love affair with our body and sometimes a hate affair with our body. We love or hate our bodies because, I think, among probably many other reasons, we believe that they're a mirror of who we are to others. I was thinking about this today. Ask any teenager about why they're popular or unpopular with their peers. And pretty early on in the conversation, I think you hear them starting to talk about, or at least they make references to, their bodies. They refer to their looks, like whether they're pretty or ugly, for example, their shape, whether they're too fat, too thin, sexy looking, not sexy looking, or they refer to physical issues, you know, whether they have too many zits or whether there's a birthmark that may not be appealing to someone. And I think I'm looking at teenagers because teenagers specialize in bodies. And sometimes when we grow beyond teenagerhood, we go on to some other things and put a little more focus on them. And, of course, for Donna and me living the last 2-3 months in Las Vegas, I really noticed there's a lot of focus on bodies in this particular town. So, in other words, we all have a very personal relationship with our bodies. When we look at our bodies, you and I are looking at the most tangible material aspect of who we are. And those bodies are in our face every day. So we can't easily ignore what they look like, how they scream out to us when they're in pain. So how we feel about our bodies becomes really important. You know, I hadn't thought about this for a while, but once there was a psychologist, a friend of mine, who told me once that he had come to believe that because our bodies are so tangible, so obvious, we human beings have developed, I think, what he called a subconscious habit of taking anything we don't like about ourselves and like localizing that onto our bodies. In other words, just storing it into the bodies. So, for example, if we feel real bad about ourselves, like having profound feelings of self-loathing, self-hatred, just as an example, his point is we subconsciously place those feelings into our body, sort of into like our body's reservoir, our body's storage locker, if you will, that are designed to hold all those feelings for us. And according to him, my psychologist friend, when we do that, we subconsciously believe that once we've stored, locked away our painful feelings in the body's storage unit, we're free. We're free to go about our lives without having to mess with that pain. Of course, it doesn't work that way, but that's the subconscious belief. So to whatever degree that's true, it's clear that our bodies speak, and sometimes they speak very, very strongly. So you ready for our tour? Let's take a tour of the physical body. And as we start, and by the way, of course, I'm inviting all of us to be really with our bodies already. We don't have to wait for my words. And my sense is already, gee, your body's sort of come alive. It's starting to speak to you. It's almost starting to say, hey, you know, remember when I spoke to you this way? And wow, hey, I'm speaking to you this way right now. So if I could be just a little blunt, I think our bodies, our physical bodies, speak the very same language that our soul speaks, that they give us the same input that our higher consciousness does. That they language the same message that to use a term that our God self does. In other words, I'm looking at as God speaks, so speaks the body. And so anytime the body speaks through this symptom, through that feeling, through this movement, somehow God's speaking. So what I'm saying is that when our body speaks, it's also our soul speaking. When the body tells us something, it's literally our spirit speaking through it, just as it. So one small example, I mean, it's an itsy-bitsy example, but if my body is overly tired one day, it just could be that that's my spirit or my soul, if you will, suggesting that I, hey, maybe step back and rest. Maybe spend that day or a good part of that day opening up to maybe a deeply internal phenomenon or happening or message rather than putting all my attention fully on the outside world. Maybe another slightly bigger example is if my body develops something, let's say life-threatening like cancer, just to pick a huge symptom or an illness or a disease, probably my inner wisdom is speaking. My inner wisdom is orchestrating a physiologically centered ritual, rite of passage, in order to maybe move me from one level of consciousness to another. And if my body is a deep, true, powerful part of me, and a part of my soul and an expressor of my soul, well, certainly my body wants to jump in and become a part of whatever this happening, this transformation, this movement, this leap is. So more important than examples, though, is the fact that when we listen to our bodies as though they were God, and I just feel like repeating that because that's, I think, the central theme of our conversation. When we listen to our bodies as though they were God, or maybe say it another way, when we listen to our bodies because they are God, as they are God speaking, and we listen, let's say, to their symptoms or to their physical language as though it's God speaking directly or even indirectly to us, absolutely amazing things happen. Shifts occur. Awakenings occur. Movement happens. So what I'm saying is that God is, as we all know totally, God is everywhere. God's in every aspect of creation, and God's in our bodies. In fact, let me say it this way. The divine chose to place itself, or himself, herself, if you will, in a physical form, like in the physical form of planet Earth, for example, and in the form of your body and my body, as another example, so that we could feel God tangibly every moment of every day, so that we could experience, if you will, the pulsings of God, the rhythms of God, the life force of God, not just the etheric concept of God or the cognitive awareness of God or the light quality of God, but experience God's being in the most tangible, feelable way possible, in the most experiential, that's good, way possible. And sure enough, how better to do that than to put divinity right in the middle of us in a form that we can't deny, in a representation that we can have as an intimate personal relationship, in a version that we can, as I said before, that we can dress, that we can adorn, that we can feed, that we can nurture, that we can love intimately with every fiber of our being, every day of our lives. Isn't this, I think, the classiest trick you've ever heard of? How devious, how tricky, how coyote-ish of that silly divine source, that ridiculous God. Ha ha, the divine really got us there, didn't it? And if you think that's a trick, and the trick I'm talking about is, wow, God put himself right in the middle of us in and as our body and forced us to pay attention to that because we feel everything in our body. So if you think that's a pretty good trick, here's the next part of the joke. Ready? The divine allowed, maybe even collaborated in creating an even bigger, a more intriguing story. The story or belief that this body isn't really divine at all. That, hey, maybe it's even an evil, sinful, or highly suspect something. The story that, gee, maybe the only path to the divine is not in the body at all, but rather in bypassing the body, in ignoring the body's messages, even maybe loathing its rituals and symptoms. That's a pretty good trick. So another part of this bigger intrigue, this grander trick, I think, is that we've come to believe that, and check this out if you've ever had this experience, that the body's expressions are just one big, huge bother. I can't tell you how many hundreds and hundreds of people over the years I have heard say that. That they're like a nagging nuisance, that they're an immense distraction from our higher self, like as though our bodies are a plot to keep us away from our clearer path. I think you get the drift. So, indeed, with this bigger version of the expanded story, this coyote-ish god that playing this trick on us, there's no way that we would have any hint that God's sitting right in the middle of our bodies, just maybe giggling away right in there, maybe even tilting God's head back and roaring with laughter at the utter delight of playing such an effective joke on us poor suspecting humans. What a really creative trick. Such a magnificent play. Oh, how could it be? But something happens, and something happened to you. One day, you woke up. You opened your eyes wide. You felt something different deep down in your body. You thought about it deeply. You fell more fully into the depth of your being, and you started experiencing your body in a totally new way, and you started, feeling God, and you started to get the joke. And you started to realize, wait a minute, there's a cosmic presence, a being, divine being of gigantic proportions here. Let's just call it God, hiding somewhere in your cells, hanging out somewhere in your bloodstream, riding the inner physical waves of your biorhythms, kind of moving with the pulsings of your heartbeat. And sure enough, you made an astounding discovery. You opened the treasure chest of your body, and you discovered, believe it or not, what very few people have discovered, the divine. Not just right there in the middle of your body, but expressing, living as your body. God is your body. Took the form of your body, lives in your body, expresses in, through, and as your body. Your God self is as much physical as it is spiritual and soulful. Well, you woke up. You saw that. You were astounded. You couldn't believe that you'd gone through all these years not noticing this now extremely obvious reality. Your body is a divine being. Your body is the divine you. It's the divine source. It's the divine wonder. It's the divine miracle. It's the divine guide. Guide. God guiding you as your body. And this divine everything has been living in your body as a primary way of expressing that guiding, that love since you were born. Oh my God, you say. Get it? I couldn't resist that. Oh my God. God in the body. It's terrible when you have to explain your own jokes. Oh my God, you say. God was here the whole time. And I finally got it. I finally get it. So, I ask you, what do you get? What do you get? What does it mean that your body is God in physical form? What does it mean to you? And first I want to say I totally understand, I get it, that it means a gazillion things all at once. And it means many of those gazillion things to each of us in a different way. Even that it means opening ourselves to an entirely new paradigm for human living. And I think that's one of the things it means to me. In fact, it may be the most radical discovery since sliced bread. I know, you thought I was going to say since the discovery of America or since the invention of the wheel or the discovery of fire. No, sliced bread is much more important than any of those. That's what makes the world go around. So that's another story. So this is the most radical discovery since sliced bread. And here's how I'm thinking about it. If you, your body, and my body are mainly a camouflage of and for God, if our bodies are in fact literally housing the divine, then the divine, that being we call God, is a special distinguished guest in our personal world. And you and I are honored, privileged to have a physical manifestation of the divine right in the middle of our everyday world, especially a guest that needs to be fed, that needs to be clothed, unless you live in Las Vegas, of course, or that needs to be adorned or honored, a God, a guest who likes a warm bath, who invites you and me to practice our special gift of love by loving this body and loving this God and God's self that we are. So that's one way I'm thinking about it. Here's another way I'm thinking about it. This is one of those like gazillion things that it means. If the purpose of our human existence is, as so many ancient Eastern and Western, but especially Eastern traditions have told us, if the purpose of human existence is to be a playground on which the divine can play, and can play not just in a light-filled, etheric way, but to play in tangible, physical, emotional, feelable ways, then what is that playground but your body? Your body is that playground. Your body is that primal elemental river, elements, earth, air, fire, water, elemental river that the divine is gloriously navigating. And your body is that elemental fire that the divine's delightfully being burned up in and burning you up in. And the divine is that elemental earth that is your body in which the divine is feeling so solidly present here. So when you take these steps, you're presenting your magnificence to what modern literature defines as your cognitive intelligence in your head, your emotional intelligence in your heart, your primal intelligence in your gut. And you happen to be the experience of that, of the divine. And I think your divine self is just having a ball. Your divine self is having a ball, a huge ball, as your body. Even if your conscious mind maybe hasn't gotten fully around to the joke yet, has forgotten the divine trick and is still duped by the cosmic joke. So here's the deal. And I think it's a really, really big deal. So you ready? Here it is. You are God. And so am I, and so are your parents, and their parents before them. And in fact, so is every rock, every tree on our planet. And in being God, we all have the privilege of experiencing all creation just as the big God does. That was cute. In Marin County, in the place we were at this last weekend for the seminar, there were two church groups, one in one side of the big building, the other on the other side. And the name of the second church group was Big God. I just thought that was so cool. Big God. It's sort of like, no, don't go there. Anyway, so you and I have the privilege of experiencing all of creation just like Big God does. That is, experience it in a gazillion forms, and one of the most glorious forms of that creation is this precious body of yours, this beautiful, magnificent body of yours and mine, the one we took on at birth, the one that's molded itself to our being and into our being through the years of our lives. So we not only have a body, we are a body. And those bodies are as much of the divine quality of our being. They're as much of our God self as our soul is, as our higher self is. So our bodies deserve a lot from us. They deserve our celebration. They deserve our love. They deserve our attention, our witnessing. They deserve our honoring, our devotion. They deserve our adoration. They deserve our non-judgment. They deserve our immersing ourselves in them and in their life and life force and their dynamics. They deserve our cooperation with whatever is their processes. Yes, they deserve our utter adoration as divine. So I'd like to take a brief look at just a couple of applications of this special relationship that we can have with God in and as our bodies. As a first application, we accept that our bodies are true messengers, maybe emissaries of the divine. And so what we do as an application is we listen. We listen to our bodies. We listen to their messages. We listen to their communication. We listen to their expressions. And when I say listen, I really mean listen. So, for example, when our body speaks, let's say speaks with what we might typically call a symptom or a pain, maybe with feeling great on one particular day, or speaks in any way. What would happen, do you think, if the first thought we had was something like, ah, God is saying something? Just like when you're standing or sitting or kneeling in the middle of a vast, divine, sacred space where you can feel the presence of the divine that's maybe been in that sacred site for centuries. And you, with that feeling, you feel like, ah, God is about to say something. The same thing when your body speaks, even if it speaks what we call a symptom. And our immediate response is something like, ooh, I'm going to listen deeply, listen sensitively to this message. And then our third action is something like, I'll listen. I'll listen sacredly, not primarily from my cognitive mind, because God as body maybe won't speak that language, but I'll listen to my body's, that is, God's physical language, earthy language, biochemical language, energy-based language. I'll even become totally one with my body's natural styles. So when we do that, we start to learn what for most of us is a new language. I know for me it was a new language because I had quite nicely tuned out my body. So what I'd like to call, and I just made up this term before our talk, the divine primal. And I don't know if any of you have ever had the privilege of learning a second or third language. I have. And what I discovered is that before I knew and could understand and speak that language of the culture I happened to live in, I was literally on the outside looking in. And I couldn't experience the culture or its richness totally. I could mostly only guess at what it was like. And in contrast, once I learned the language, once I could understand them and I could speak with them, I could literally talk with the people. I could learn their ways. I could assimilate their customs. I could be enriched by their unique styles of living and loving. I could be completely, in fact, renewed by their special style of being. And in fact, that's what happened with me in both the extra languages I learned. I'm still learning English, but the other couple that I learned, once I learned it, it was like it opened up worlds for me that I never knew existed, and it changed me deeply. So it's the same with the body and the body's language. God has chosen to speak to us in a primal language, as well as a cognitive language, as well as a spiritual language, as well as a heart language, as well as symbolic language, etc. Imagine that, a primal language. God speaks primal. A primal language. What is that? Well, in short, and much too briefly, my sense is that the divine's primal language is the very language that's shared and used by animals, plants, nature, birds, shamans, many native peoples, and the very planet called Earth on which we walk. Primal language. It's the most fundamental, organic, expressive language in this region of the universe, probably spoken nowhere else anywhere. It's a rare language. And it's the language that literally our brainstems are already totally fluent in. those limbic, reptilian, mammalian regions of our brain, our brainstem, that literally developed and flourished during those beginning months when we were in the womb. Remember that? When we were floating like amphibians in the fluid of the womb, and that are still alive and well in the backgrounds, in the brainstems, in the cells of our human being and human living, in our bodies. Yes, primal language. Primal language is accessed not so much by thinking, but by feeling. So how do we learn this language? We learn it by feeling. We learn it by experiencing more than cognizing. We learn it by becoming one with what is, rather than by looking at it from over the forest. Primal language. It's our most natural language, actually, and it looks something like this. And I'm just going to go to, I think, 4 or 5 steps. First, we notice. We notice our body's signals. We notice its symptoms, its expressions. We notice how it feels. We notice how it speaks. And we pay attention. We give it our fullest possible attention. Second, we feel into our body's energies, into our body's feelings, into our body's rhythms, its pulsatings, its rich dynamics. We feel into them. Third, we listen. We listen not so much, again, with our cognitive or questioning mind, questions like, ooh, what is the symbolic meaning of this symptom, for example, but with our body mind, with our feeling mind, with our intuitive mind. We listen without thinking, without guessing, without asking anything. We listen with a totally opened being, open mind, and we listen for as long as it takes, maybe moments, maybe hours, maybe days, maybe months. And fourth, we allow ourselves in the middle of this sacred act of listening to realize anew that I am on hallowed ground, sacred ground. I'm in a sacred temple, this body, where the presence of the divine abounds. And I'm privileged to hear a special, special voice, communication, expression from God, with our body being the megaphone, the voice. And finally, fifth, we allow our complete receptivity. We just let our openness to take over. We're like an open sponge, a neutral vessel, a hollow bone. We simply can't wait until something forms in our depth. A picture, a feeling, a knowing, an image, an intuition, a thought, and as we sit with it, and we notice, oh, it feels right. Feels like, yes, this is the communication. This is the meaning. This is my body speaking. I get it. And all we do is we just accept it. We know it. And somehow we're at peace. That's one way. One way of being with the God, the divine, the divine self, the God self, that is our body. One way of receiving the gift, the divine gift, the gift of grace that is in and through this sacred body. One way of being one with God, physically, primally. Well, I have a second application before we stop. The second application of this amazing divine relationships with our body, and it's this. We identify with our bodies. We become the divine that is our body. We merge our personal identity. And for many of us, we have that identity primarily as a spiritual one. But we merge that in a way where we don't lose the spiritual identity in any way. We merge it with our very own body, thereby accessing deeply felt union with God. But through this primal channel, as well as through a purely spiritual channel. Imagine that. We let our identity become that of our bodies. Our identity become that of our bodies. We become so completely identified with this body, and in that supreme act of letting go into the physical dimension of life, we find God in a whole new way. Whew, you know, I don't know about you, but my biggest leaps of growth in my life have followed times when I gave the hugest, largest protests against what I was being led into. And when I finally faced what I did not want to face, whoa, when I let myself do what I most wanted to avoid, you know where I'm going with this, absolutely amazing things happened, far beyond what I thought or imagined they would be. As silly examples, I really did not want to specialize in criminals when I was a psychologist. And what did life do? Led me right to that arena and forced me to do it. Equally, I really disliked, I hated psychological testing. I loved psychotherapy. I loved hanging out with people in their depths. I loved being a facilitator of their growth. Doing psychological testing to me was something akin to not having sliced bread. It's that awful. And I really didn't want to do it, and of course, what happened? Life forced me to do it, and to do it in depth, and to do it for years. Also, I couldn't stand the thought of doing expert witnessing in courts, about which I had so many judgments, and judgments about that court system, which frankly scared me. But again, life forced me to do it, and many, many, many scores of times over. And as you can imagine, because I faced them, not of my own volition, but because I faced them, because I entered into them, because I became one with them, because ultimately I gave myself totally to them and identified in them, with them, slept with the enemy, if you will, I grew by leaps and bounds. I began to understand things about humanness in all those arenas that I never would have or could have gotten to otherwise. I could begin to see God living in the heart of criminals and abusers. I could see life through the eyes of God like never before, simply because I identified with that facet of humanness, that facet of primalness, that facet of earthiness. So, if there's any part of you that's looking at this thing called identifying with the body and is saying, no way, you might want to consider letting go and knowing that there's a God waiting in that body, waiting to be discovered, waiting to be felt, waiting to be experienced. And that God in your body is inviting you into itself through your body's activities, your body's rhythms, your body's symptoms, your body's expressions. So if you do let go into that God in the body, or should I say when you do, God becomes more feelable, more tangible, more real than ever before. And best of all, you feel more and more like the beautiful, adorable, magnificent God self that you truly and really are. And you know another thing that happens? That distinction we have between divine and human just fades away. And you are living in the middle of the unified field of life. And that, I deeply believe, is why we have the trick and funniness of our human experience, why we make believe that what is God isn't, why we make believe that what is beautiful is ugly, and that what is sacred is so profane that it's unworthy of our attention. That's why we play that funny joke on us, when in fact, that funny joke, that coyote-like trick, is the very game you and I came into this three-dimensional space to uncover. I mean, after all, we found sliced bread. What else is left except this? Sort of like solving some dramatic mystery. I know you're with that sliced bread thing as much as I am. And then finding the happy ending. So the happy ending may be right in the middle of this body you've been carrying around. Maybe in the middle of this body you've been using as a workhorse. Maybe in the middle of this body whose total sacredness is staring you right in the face right in this very moment, right at this very sacred time, saying, yeah, come spend time with me, come visit me, come know me, and I'll use your body to speak to you. Come learn my primal language, because in it you complete everything spiritual that you have come to this earth to do. Whoa, I thank you so very, 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 very much. I was so excited as I spent time this afternoon with this talk because I feel like it goes to the core of our spirituality and maybe the last piece of the puzzle of our spirituality that many of us need. It may be the piece that maybe we've been waiting to get enlightened or liberated or free or awakened or or whatever the term may be. And maybe that can't happen until we do what we're talking about, which is become this body and find God there. I love you. I am, in a second, going to push a couple buttons again and invite us to share. And up till now, I've shared, and the inspiration, at least the verbal inspiration for this, has been through me, and I'm really looking forward to the rest of this inspiration coming from you. So I'm going to push a button a couple of times, and after that, that will keep all of us muted, except if someone wants to speak, you can press star 6 or press your unmute button, whatever that is on your phone, and then if you do want to speak, just press that button, unmute yourself, and tell us your name, say what you would like to say, and then when you're done, you can press the mute button again. And I just want to mention again that this is not a question-answer period, so I would appreciate your not asking me any questions, but just express from your precious, beautiful self. So I will be right back. We are so ready. So thank you. Is there somebody who would like to express something? And I would love it if there is.
Bill, this is Colleen.
Oh, hello, Colleen.
Hi. Listen, I want to thank you. This really resonated with me tonight because this is kind of just where I am. And I just wanted to share a little bit.
Yes.
For one thing, my daughter, she's at that age where she doesn't really isn't taking care of her body. She lives in her mind. And when she sees me brush my hair or take care of my external body, she's like, Mom, it's just the gift wrap.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't realize the importance of the body. And I'm like,
yeah.
This is a gift. This mm-hmm. body is a gift. It helps us express ourselves in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, back in the spring, I had really severe allergies like a lot of people, but it lasted forever. And I asked after like a month, I'm like, what is going on? And the message that I got was, you're stressed subconsciously, even though you don't feel stressed. So I really didn't know what that meant. So it took a while. Like you said, sometimes it takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
So the past month, I had an eye infection, and it's something that I've had before and clears up in 3 or 5 days, and it took a month.
Mm-hmm.
Well, finally I was led to somebody because I asked, and I wrote down that I want a healthy body. And I asked, and someone came and was able to help me nutritionally to balance the nutritional needs of my body at this time.
Yeah.
And I really believe that when I'm more balanced, that I will be able to hear spirit more clearly, because we are one. The body is, you know, to communicate with spirit, we really do have to take care of our body.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I'm into vanity and everything, but it is a precious thing that we're given, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I just really resonated with what you said tonight. It spoke on so many different levels. I just spoke about one level right now.
Yes, right. Thank you, Colleen. I really appreciate the level or the perspective you gave us, because it really added to what my words were. So thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Is there somebody else who'd like to share something with us?
Hi, this is Becky from Asheville.
Yes, hi, Becky from Asheville.
Hi. I just wanted to share, you know, recently, about a week and a half ago, I was in a car accident, and I was stopped at a stoplight, and somebody rear-ended me and pushed me into the car in front of me. And it's been just a journey since then. Of a lot of physical sensations that I have never felt before.
Yes.
And you know, I just have to say that obviously this is a perfect call for me today. And You know, I have to say that this has been, this has just been a, sort of wonderful in the sense, I mean, you know, yes, am I feeling physical pain? I am. But, you know, I'm getting to know my body more intimately than ever before.
Yeah.
You know, I'm feeling parts of my body that, of course, you know, mentally, of course, I knew they existed. You know, I knew I had vertebrae. But, but you know, I never really felt them individually before.
Yes, right.
I never had an intimate relationship with each one of my vertebrae before.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really interesting to me to feel these parts of my body and you know, to really spend time with them.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like get to know them and you know, ask them what they want and, you know, what do they need and, you know, and how can I support you and all that stuff. And so it's just a wonderful, I don't know, it's so wonderful. I feel like I'm getting to know myself more and better.
Yeah. Yes.
You know? And I just feel like this whole thing has been a wonderful gift.
Yes. Yes, I totally understand. I can't tell you how many people I've heard say that, Becky, where what seems like tragedy at first view really turns into just what you described it as, just a huge gift. So thank you so much. I really appreciate your sharing that with all of us.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for everything.
Yes, you bet.
Okay.
Okay. And is there somebody else who'd like to share anything with us?
Hello, Bill. This is Chris from Asheville.
Hey, hi, Chris. Boy, this is the Asheville big time here tonight.
Well, you know, when you came to do your seminar here in Asheville, you just got us so inspired, we can't stop.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm actually on a business trip, and I'm here in New York City staying in a hotel in the evenings during, you know, having business meetings and training and stuff during the day and walking around the Bowery is where I'm staying. And it's so interesting that your talk has kind of supplemented what I'm experiencing here with such a variety of life going on. And, you know, in a big city like New York, you see, you know, you see so much. You see garbage on the streets and, you know, what you're I'm stumbling over my words here, but you see such a range of human life from beautiful things to things that are lots of degradation and so forth. And realizing that within all of that, you start seeing that, well, God is there too.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're talking about connecting with our bodies as God, it's another layer of the same phenomenon. And it occurred to me that what you've talked about tonight is really a stepping stone to being able to see God in all that is around us, all that is appears good, all that appears not so good, because we have the same relationship with our bodies. We sometimes, you know, we have things that seem great, other things that don't seem great, health problems and so forth, but it's all God. And when we start having that kind of relationship with our bodies, then it's just one more step to have the same relationship with the world around us that has such a range of experience to it.
Yes. Oh, Chris, beautiful. Thank you so much. I love the perspective. It's a very expanded, expansive perspective. And I love your tone with it, too, which really just invited all of us just to confidently step into that perspective. So thanks so much.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, and I hope you continue to have a marvelous time in the Bowery.
I will.
Yeah, great. Is there one more person who'd like to say anything? you know, while we're waiting for someone, I for a number of years I thought, gee, I think it'd be really fun to be one of those talk show hosts who, you know, has people call in. So I'm getting all my fantasies and desires met when I get to this part. So I should say something like, the lines are open, and you know, give you the phone number or something. But is there someone else who'd like to express anything?
Bill, it's Colleen again. I just wanted to say one more thing.
Yeah, hi, Colleen.
Yeah, just like you said, you feel resistant sometimes. I mean, I'm all into freedom, and, yeah, I try to eat right, but I didn't want any structure in my life. So mm-hmm. It was like, you know, surrendering, I have to do a structure
mm-hmm.
to heal. So
yeah.
That was just another thing that, you know, it isn't always something that you want. It's something that you need to do.
It's really well said. You said that a little more directly and poetically than I did. Thank you, Colleen. Yeah, I appreciate your adding that piece because it's a great slice of the pie.
Thanks.
Would you believe I just looked at my clock? Don't look at yours because you know yours is probably wrong. Anyway. In a little bit, I want to turn this over to Donna, but if I could just take another minute or so and just beautifully thank you. Number one, all day long or all afternoon long, I have had just the best time being with you in spirit. And then to add your physical presence to that just over this last hour has been more than I can put words to. Thank you for being in Donna's life and my life. And again, just as Donna next Monday goes to her surgery, and I invite all of us to be with her, I invite all of us to be also with each one of us as we just go through not just this next week, but let's just say this next month or however long in our lives, so that you know that you are you are loved, you are held, you are you are supported by maybe people you've never met, but who love you just like there's God in your body. We're here to love the God that you are. So thank you. Thank you for this sacred hour together. Thank you for being who you are. And we are so with you over this next time. And Donna, may I turn this over to you again so that you could bid us fair adieu.
Thank you. Thank you. This is a wonderful preparation for my big healing celebration on Monday. I appreciate everything that everyone has said, and your talk was absolutely wonderful tonight. So on behalf of everybody, I want to thank you for spending your day getting ready to share this with us. And then I would love to remind you that our next teleconference is August 31st. That's a pretty long ways away because we're doing it this early this month. But I want to tell you also, Bill's going to be, besides being a wonderful partner for me, we have a lot of things happening before that next month. One of them is we are having a small group intensive, and it's the first one that we actually are doing in Las Vegas. And then we are expanding, and Bill is traveling up to Canada, and he'll be doing a seminar in Toronto. And then the biggie is coming up, and we know that many of you are joining us, the Ultimate Human, which is its first weekend will be before we talk to you again at a teleconference. So there is a lot going on, and we'll all be connected each and every day. So with that, we all unmute and say goodbye.
Wonderful.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
That was awesome.
Thank you, Bill.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Love you.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 Bye. Love you all.
Okay.
Bye.
You too.
Everybody.